4. We'll be beginning at verse 10 today for our reflections in God's Word. It is November 5th, so it is appropriate this time of year to start thinking about giving thanks. And Paul, the writer of this letter to the Philippians, is writing what can be described as simply a thank you note. The letter of Philippians to the Philippians, Paul is writing in gratitude of a sum of money that he received from those churches in the region of Philippi. So as we seek to be a blessing and to take an offering for our regional presbytery, it may be good to consider these words of Paul, who was the recipient of the gifts that we bring forth today. Paul writes, verse 10, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, how blessed and privileged we are to have this writing before us, preserved over time. Lord, a lost art of writing notes and letters, preserved for our modern eyes to read. Lord, may we find meaning in these words. May we be inspired by Paul's gratitude. May we be informed on the joy of giving. We seek to always give you thanks for the many blessings in our life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought it would be neat throughout the month of Thanksgiving to look at a thank you note. As I mentioned, this entire book was inspired and written, this entire letter, because Paul received a financial gift. We don't know how much. It appears in reading this section that it was ample to supply him in his needs. And so to reflect a little bit about Paul's thank you note to the Philippians. And the interesting thing about just this passage that I wrote, as Paul gives thanks to the Philippians for their monetary gift to him, he reveals the very nature of giving. some of the benefits and joys that come with being a generous giver. And so today I want to speak about one of those joys, about one of those items, the nature of giving, by looking at just simply verse 10. I'll read it again for you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. This is the first line of his thank you note, if you will. And whereas the entire letter and the entire note that we just read seems like such a beautiful thank you note. I've been supplied so amply. The offering is a fragrant offering, pleasing to the Lord. But he starts out his letter by saying, at last, you have renewed your concern for me. You see what's going on here? So, this month we take up a presbytery offering. Okay? We send it off to the presbytery. We get a note back. We will get a note. Reverend Hawkins, Ralph, is very good at writing letters and thank you notes. And he starts his letter off, my dear saints and friends from Lebanon, at last you've renewed your concern for me. It's grateful. It's giving thanks. But there's a little jab in there somewhere, isn't there? Do you see it? It would be sort of like doing this. I'm going to pick on somebody here. Andy, we're good friends. I'm going to pick on you. All right? Let's say Andy has been absent from church for 4 or 5 months. Okay? He hasn't been, to be clear. He's regular in his attendance. And I see him here, and I'm like, oh, Andy's here at church today. That's great. And I walk up to Andy, smiling. I shake his hand, and I say, hey, Andy, I've missed you at church lately. Genuine, right? I'm showing a sincere concern, a compassion towards him. I've missed him. But what may he hear? What may he also hear? That's right. Why haven't you been here? In making him feel welcomed and glad, I'm also convicting him of what was once lax in his attendance. Same thing is going on here. The Philippians take up an offering. They send it off to Paul. Paul receives it and says, at last you've renewed your concern for me. That word renewed there in this passage, in that verse, also can be translated revived. You've been revived. It indicates that something was once not there, or it was barren. It was lacking. Think of a plant in your house that has withered because you forgot about it. Right? That happens to us. When you come to my house, you'll notice that there aren't many living plants inside my house. I bought one this year to put outside, and the lady at the nursery said, oh, you can bring that in the winter and then put it back out again when spring and summer comes. But that means that I have, you know, in the spring and the summer, the Lord takes care of that plant. The sun and the rain, it does fine on its own, but when I bring it into the house, what has to happen? I have to care for it. And what happens throughout the course of the months when I forget to water it? I forget to give it nurture and care. I don't care about it. It's out of my mind. It withers. But if I want to bring it back, I have to provide care for it. I have to water it. I have to take care of it. And once you do that, all of a sudden it turns green again, and it has these beautiful blossoms and flowers on it. Every week since I brought it in 2-3 weeks ago, I'm still getting blossoms every week. And that's because I am giving my time and my energy and my concern and my care towards that plant. But if I neglect it, it runs barren. That's what's happened here. there was a time when the Philippians forgot about Paul. Paul planted their church in the area of their churches. He even references, when I was with you for the gospel, you would remember this. He says, at the time, you were the only church that supported me financially. But apparently there was a time, now that Paul's long gone, now he's in prison writing this note, by the way, in which the Philippians say, hey, wait a minute. Paul needs help. Paul needs supported. And they take up this offering and they send it to him and he writes this thank you note. Their concern was renewed. And isn't that what happens when we give? When you give to someone or to something, that's an expression of care and concern, is it not? How much money do you give to people you don't care about? How much time and energy do you give to things you don't care about? Going to work doesn't count. Do you give money to a friend or to a family member just because you don't care about them? No, it seems ridiculous. When you give out of care and out of concern, which is one reason that when the elders and I were talking about having a presbytery offering, it wasn't just a matter, let's put a note in the bulletin and ask people to give money to Shenango Presbytery. We want you to be aware of what the presbytery does so that you would be informed, aware, that you would care that this is an important part of who we are as a church. To give testimonies about what the ministries and missions and services are. The problem is when we don't give, we're not seeing and taking care of those around us. See, that's the tricky thing about wealth and riches. Once we acquire them, we generally claim them and hold them as our own, and we all of a sudden use them for our own benefit. Giving does the opposite. Giving takes your wealth and your resources, and when you give it away, you take the focus off of yourself, right? And you apply it to something else. And that, in doing so, in giving that money, you then all of a sudden take interest. Whatever it is that you give money towards, or people you give money to, or as we approach Christmas, our hope and our prayer, and when we give to the church or we give to an individual or an organization, is that it's more than just a transaction of money. It's actually a way in which we renew and revive our interest and our service to that particular person or organization. And the trick and the joy in doing that is not allowing that wealth and that resource that you have to only serve yourself. A really rich man, I heard this story, this parable once. There was a really rich man who wasn't finding any fulfillment in life. Had everything that he could possibly have. Money was no object to him. Wealth, homes, houses, all the fixtures. But he wasn't satisfied. So he went to a counselor. And the counselor sat him down and was talking to him about his feelings of emptiness. And the counselor invited the man to stand up and go over to the window and look down over the street above below them. And the counselor asked the rich man, "What do you see through this window?" The rich man said, "Well, I see people." The counselor says, "That's correct." Then he took him over to the other corner of his office and he asked him to look into a mirror. And he said to the rich man, "What do you see?" The rich man said, I see myself. The wise counselor says, that's correct. You do see yourself. The wise counselor went on to explain that that mirror is a piece of glass, no different than the window that he looked through on the other side of the room. With exception of one particular detail, the piece of glass that's used to make up the mirror has silver on the back of it. Silver. Like putting money in front of your face. What do you see? Only yourself. What happens when you take that money away and you give it away? The things you care about. You all of a sudden can look right through it. That's the joy of giving. It takes the focus off of us and renews us and revives us to care for things beyond us. A friend, a family member, a church, a missionary, a presbytery. When you engage in giving, you see beyond yourself. This Thanksgiving and Christmas season, may you be gracious and generous, looking beyond yourself and giving to others, that you might be renewed and revived to the glory of God. Let us stand and sing.